We do.
Did you press play?
I did.
Okay.
She said if you don't, she said if you don't mind, she'll be here in 5 minutes.
Oh, well, let's get going.
Sure.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department.
So you're it again, Kai.
He's always.
Hello, everybody. My name's Kai Pinkerton, for all that don't know. Captain, part of the Indian Springs Fire Department. Nothing really much happening besides there has been a little bit more increase of heavy rigs, such as semis and such, on the highway. Being involved with some accidents and stuff like that, but there hasn't been really much else happening. The medical portion of it is a little bit down right now, but I'm sure as spring, summer comes along and the heat rises, we'll be getting more increase in medical calls again. Which brings me to, if you guys know anybody that have any interest, we direly need EMTs. We do have EMTs come out from town, and they pull a 12-hour shift here and there, 24 sometimes, but the requirement of EMTs is a lot higher than what we're getting from the out-of-town people. It does help, but yeah, if we could get some resident EMTs, that would be great. It's a long process, but definitely rewarding in the long run. So if you guys have any questions.
What about, I'll tell you, what about your associate members? Where do we stand with that?
Right now we're just gonna be, we still have the associate program, and it's still going on right now, but it's still pretty much the same as it was before.
Okay, well, what I'm getting to is what about associate membership? I mean, isn't that still a need for the department?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We could also have more associate members. It's always a good thing to have more associate members.
What is an associate member?
An associate member is a person that helps out with just non-emergent side things of the community, like fundraising, helping planning and attending and working community events, such as 4th of July, parades, so on and so forth, stuff like that.
So the associate members are like, I mean, that's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
When you look at the 4th of July, the Warriors Challenge, all those things, I mean, the wives, I mean, you're talking a couple dozen people needed at the least to pull these events off. I mean, they are tough. I've been on events before when I was part of the fire department where it was 8 or 10 people, and I mean, it was a 16-hour day, and it killed us. So anything that anybody can do as far as an associate, and that doesn't mean you're strapped in by the collar and you got to attend all these hours. I mean, whatever anybody can do is greatly appreciated and really needed by the fire department.
Could I make an offer? So my name is Duke Zaria from Creech. If you were to develop some sort of a flyer, my email is here on the thing. We could, from the associate member perspective, all of our airmen are required to do civic contributions, and if there's something right across from Creech that they could offer a couple hours a week to come and do it, they would jump all over that. It's part of getting promoted. Don't get me wrong, they love you. They're good people who want to give back to the community, but knowing that you guys are in such desperate need of
right.
stuff, that, and I want to be clear, we're talking about stuff like you're setting up for events and things like that.
Cool. Yes.
If you wanted to get me a flyer that could do that, I could make sure that could go around Creech. And I got to tell you, I got to imagine you get 10 or 15 easy out of 40. We'd love to help you.
Okay.
That'd be
definitely take down your email.
That would be a huge boost. I mean,
we'll shoot you whatever flyers we come up with and stuff. So that would help you tremendously.
Make sure you get his information. Well, thank you. That's great.
Any other questions? No? Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks. Metro? Nope. Highway Patrol. Yeah, the floor.
Good evening, I'm Trooper Hunt. Sent in with Sergeant Rammer, he wasn't able to make it today. And so he kind of gave me our statistics for the month. And so I will just go over them. Any questions? It's really not too much stuff. It's just our activities, what we've been up to. So for the month of last month of March, we initiated 671 total contacts. Of those contacts, there are 512 traffic stops, which resulted in, which I think his statistics are wrong, because he said we made 512 stops, but 557 citations, so.
Well, the 500, is that just our district?
Yeah, that's just in Indian Springs, like from basically 95 Sky Canyon up to State Route 160 in the mountain.
Oh.
Yeah, so we've been a little busy, and it's going to get busier once summer hits. So.
Does that include pulling over the trucks, too? Like
that includes
the
every single traffic stop that occurred in Lincoln King, so that's the Lincoln King beat. So it's not just ours. That's also all the commercial, any commercial activity that's, when they make a traffic stop, if they call it a certain mile marker, it's an our spill in our system. It automatically goes to Lincoln King beat. So that's what you guys are in. You're in the Lincoln King beat. So any traffic stop that's initiated here is part of our statistic that's tracked in this building. Third, that was the citation, so I said those numbers are a little wonky to me.
Could it be that there's multiple citations?
Some of it's not citations, it's warnings are included into that. Mm. So sometimes I have a tendency to do it, some of the other troops, so we might write a ticket on one thing and then we'll issue written warnings on other violations. So it gives us more stats. without, you know, the public getting too upset. So the fourth thing, we handled 9 crashes, including 1 fatal. The 1 fatal that was at 95 and it was 128 Clark. And most of these, it doesn't really tell you where they occurred, but the majority last month, I think we had like 3 or 4 on 95, and then we handled like, I had 3 crashes, and all my crashes were up on the mountain last month, so, which most of them have been. It's getting that time of year where, you know, we're starting to get, the winter season is going down, and now the tourist season is coming in, so we're kind of getting a little more flow. And I don't know if they've told you, but the mountain closes down, the resort is closing down this weekend, so their last big hurrah is on Saturday. So after that, now the resort's going to be shut down. They're renovating this summer, so they're building another building, so they're going to try and increase capacity up there, which is awesome, so we'll have even more people up there.
Yeah, baby.
And so the fifth item we have, we had 75 motorist assists, so those are anybody that was broke or stopped on the side of the road that, you know, we're stopping out to assist with. So that's tire changes, if their car breaks down, or if it's a call for service where somebody saw somebody broke down and we're responding to them. So we had 75 of those. And then we had 17 abandoned vehicles on the road. And like I said, most time the abandoned vehicles, it's most policies in the rural areas, we leave them for a little while. So if you guys get upset because there's a car on the side of the road, you know, you have a very transient population that's going from Vegas to Reno or other parts of the state. Sometimes people break down, they leave their car there for like a week, and they'll call us and say, hey, I'm from Idaho, I'll be coming back in like a week to pick up my car. And it's like, okay, we'll leave it there.
Right.
I was told a long time ago, if that ever happens, it's a good idea to put a note on your dash.
Yes, absolutely.
Dear police, I'm broke down, I'm coming back in 3 days, and whatever.
Like I said, it happens. And I mean, I've worked rurals pretty much my entire career. I worked up in Beatty for 6 years. I'm from Beatty, so I played Indian Springs a lot when I was in high school. I might have played against some of your kids. I mean, but it's the rules. It's a little bit different. We understand people break down, and like it's the middle of nowhere. There's hardly any cell coverage. You know, it's hard to get people to stop, pick you up, take you somewhere else. So we kind of understand that, and we need vehicles a little bit longer than you would in town. In town, 72 hours, that car's still there. Like we're towing it and getting it off the road because it's too much of a hazard on the shoulders there on a controlled access highway. And I believe the seventh item, which he said that we normally don't give these, but we made 6 arrests this month here in the area. Some of them were DUIs, a lot of them weren't. So, and that's it.
Good. Keep it up.
Any questions?
Keep it up.
Can you possibly unveil how much you have on your guys' roster patrolling the area?
How many troopers you have out here?
Yeah.
Also, currently there's 1 sergeant, that's Sergeant Reimer, and then there's 4 troopers. So we actually rate 6. So we're actually down 2 bodies, and we've been down 2 bodies for a while. And as far as I know, they have no plans to give us any more bodies for probably the rest of the remaining of the year, because we're short in Vegas. So Vegas has priority on getting additional troops. So they have an academy that's in FTO right now, and I think there's only like 9 of them, and all of them are staying in town. We were supposed to pick up, like once those guys hit the road, they promised that they were gonna give us at least 1 more body, but we've also had a couple people leave the department, go to other agencies, so that ended up not happening, so. But right now, I mean, you have a pretty balanced shift. There's 2 of us on either side of the week. So, you know, so from Wednesday to Saturday, that's how our shifts go. So you either work Sunday to Wednesday or Wednesday to Saturday. And so right now there's two troops on either side of the week, and then Sergeant Reimer kind of floats around there. So on any given day, you guys should have at least 2 to 3 of us out here. And now that you see that the winter, it stopped snowing, you've probably seen a lot more of us, more activity on the road.
Ooh, right.
So we're down on 95. So I've been really busy the last couple of Fridays. If you've seen me in the slick top, I've been making a ton of traffic stops because people are just hauling butt. I had to rein everybody back in because we've been gone all winter, pretty much up on the mountain most of the week. And you guys know the traffic out here with Creech and Mercury. If they don't see us for a day or two in a row, they're like, well, the troopers aren't down on the highway, so we're going to haul butt. Because Metro doesn't care about writing tickets. So they don't care about traffic safety. They got other things that they got to deal with. You know, they have to police the community here. They have, you know, Mount Charleston up at the Rainbow subdivision and over on Lee Canyon. So and a little bit different mission set than we have. And this, I know he wanted me to mention this, so if I don't mention this, he's going to get upset. This month, one of the major things we have coming on in the area is the Sacred Peace Walk. And that starts April 13th, so I believe it's tomorrow. You won't see anybody out here until, which I believe it is on Monday the 15th. That's when they actually start the walk. And there's going to be, I don't know how many people there being, but I think they're estimating like 80. So you might see pedestrians that are walking on the side of the road. And they'll be walking from basically State Route 157, which is Kyle Canyon, and they're going all the way up to Mercury. And if you guys, I don't know if you guys want to, but if you want to check out their schedule, I have the schedule here, but I'm not gonna list out every time. But they have a website, NevadaDesertExperience.org. So that's NevadaDesertExperience.org. If you go on there, it says SPW schedule. That's the Sacred Peace Walk. So that's the one that's occurring all next week. And then after that, you have our Law Enforcement Memorial Run, which starts on April 24th. And we'll be running through the area, our department and all the other, you know, law enforcement agencies in Southern Nevada. They'll be coming through the area probably between April 24th until about the 26th or 27th. And that'll be start from the Grant Sawyer building in town, and then they run all the way to Reno every year. Hmm. And not everybody, obviously, but every agency takes a little length.
Right, right. Gotcha.
Okay. That's all I got for you guys. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's good. And that's, we had our officer involved shooting. Everything's good. He's good so far. He's actually one of my academy mates, one of my good friends, so he's doing all right. Just luckily everything was okay with that. And I know you guys probably saw a media briefing, because I think they released most of the briefing last week on Wednesday or Thursday. So you guys might actually have seen some of the video from that already. But yes, but he's okay. I don't know when I'll be back to work, but I only take his time, so. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Creech Air Force Base.
Hello, everybody. Nick DiRosario. Last name is spelled DiRosario. Creech Air Force Base. Where to begin? I guess I'll start with the noise you probably been hearing.
What is up with that?
Yeah, so I guess I should begin with, you're going to see a big change in Creech over the next 6 months. For years, you might have known that Creech has always been attached to Nellis. That is going to change by at the latest December of this year. Creech is essentially going to start standing on its own. So the wing commander that you may know as the 432nd wing commander who works out here is going to be the installation commander. Since 1943, it's always been the Nellis commander has also had control out here. That's going to change. As soon as we get official documentation from the Pentagon, that'll be a new thing. Could be as early as June, but no later than December. So. There's not really going to be any sort of ceremony that goes with that. It's more of just a transition, but all of the things you might have been used to, so like noise complaints and things like that, are actually going to come directly to us. We're going to be rolling out a lot of information for you in the next couple of months of noise complaint numbers, things of that nature, but it is a good thing if you like progress and growth in the context of Creech is going to be on its own, doing its own mission set and separate from the training mission that's primarily out at Nellis. But we'll still support them in the event their aircraft need to land here. But we're going to be doing our own thing. So, back to the noise. The noise is a new giant voice system. So, when you get your own installation, it turns out you want to buy all the toys that go with it. And one of those is a giant voice system. It lets you know you're the proud owner of a new Air Force base that's all your own. I do want to apologize. I was here last month, but it turned out I didn't look and see that you guys didn't have an agenda. So you would have been briefed before all the events. But the reason it's running right now is we're doing an exercise. that is, I promise, not going to be a regular part of life. And if I can brief you the month before, I promise I'm going to bring that to you so you know what nights to expect, that type of stuff. But I want to stress, it's not routine. It ended today, so hopefully you won't hear anything else in terms of, we're having a bad day if you hear it outside of that window. We essentially added, there were originally three towers, we've added three more. We will be doing some sound mapping, and we'll, as good neighbors, we'll bring that to you and show you what we believe the sound impact to you will be. And most importantly, once we have our own noise hotline number, we'll give that to you too, if people have personal feelings about how they want, you know, why are you doing it at this time, or what's going on. But the anomaly right now was a 3-day, 24/7, 365 exercise. I promise that is an anomaly. Most of our exercises are during normal business hours during the day, so when we're practicing. But this was an important one that we had to get done. Okay, so since we're talking about noise, this year we're going to be looking at doing a new AQ study. An AQ study is also a sound study. It's different than what I'm talking about in the mapping for the giant voice. Essentially every 5 years, and we're about 6 years overdue for ours, the Air Force goes out to the community and says, hi, we know we put an Air Force base here, and this is what we think the airplane noise that we generate has in terms of an impact. There'll be public comment, there'll be opportunities to get feedback from you folks. We go and contract a private company that will come out and do it. They specialize in this type of mapping. For those of you who've been here for a long time, I'm sure you might remember one or two that have been done in the past. The last one I have my records for is about 2006. So, what else? Change of command. So right now, Colonel Julian Cheater is the installation commander at Creech, or the 432nd Wing Commander at Creech, soon to be the installation commander. But he's going to be leaving us June 7th. June 7th is going to be a big day. The new incoming commander is named Joker Jones, Stephen Joker Jones. Colonel Cheater is going to become Brigadier General Cheater. He's headed to the UAE to do some work over there for Old Glory. Colonel Jones has been at Creech twice before and as a squadron commander, so he knows our community very well. I can say he's looking forward to having his own wing and also being having control of the installation as a whole. So, a couple other things to add. Study noise numbers, installation, command. I'm getting a new boss. So the 799th. The 799th is getting folded under the 432nd wing when that change takes place. So we're not going to be two separate organizations from now on. We're going to be known as the 432nd Mission Support Group. We have a proud history that dates back to Vietnam. We're looking forward. We will be having a formal ceremony for when that change takes place, and we do join the 432nd family officially. And last, new jobs. The RSS-2 contract. So all of you know that a lot of the base support services on the installation are provided by what we refer to as the Range Support Services contract. It's owned by the AECOM Corporation. They are going to be looking to hire 65 more folks here in the next year, a combination of bus drivers, mechanics. We're developing a new LRS operation, which is basically it's the AFSC that has to do with truck transportation and stuff like that. So we're turning that operation over to a contractor. So my advice, if anybody's looking for an opportunity at the base that they haven't had before and doesn't mind being a contractor, AECOM's website will have connections there. And again, it looks to be they're hiring somewhere in the range of 65. And that should be over the next year.
Nice.
I got to be honest, man. I promise I'll bring the exact website next month. But if you go to the AECOM, so it's A, like letter A, AECOM.com, you'll be able to navigate through there. And again, it's the Range Support Services 2 contract.
Isn't it the RSSII website?
So some say aye, aye, yes.
For the website.
So if you know the link, forgive me.
That's what it is. It's RSSII, and then I think it's a .com.
.com.
And that's it.
You good job, man.
They're all on it.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So with that, I stand ready to...
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
Only thing I got is, can you turn up the volume on the in the afternoons? Because before we
can look at that. If you
yeah.
Want. You mean for like, when we're lowering the flags?
So yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really quiet now.
It's the wind. How the wind blows.
No.
We can certainly look at that.
Amen. Anything yeah.
Else? All right, we'll see you next month.
All right, thank
you.
Thank you.
Great.
Clark County Parks and Rec.
Hi, I'm Josie Fannin with Clark County Parks and Rec. So we have quite a bit actually going on. April 17th, we're going to have an Easter-themed kids craft. It's all ages. The cost is $1, and it is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. April 18th, we're going to have Open Rec. So we'll have it open on that side of the community center with games and whatnot from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. and it's $1 per child. April 25th at 7 p.m. is bingo. Ages are 18 and up. And then April 28th at 2 p.m. we're going to have a cornhole tournament up at Chuck's Field. May 3rd at 6 p.m., we have an adult craft ages 18 and older. The cost is $10 per participant, and you have to prepay by April 26th. If you're interested in that, just or interested in any of these, let me know. And then youth baseball is every Saturday starting at 9 a.m. There's no game April 20th due to spring break. And then Akahi's going to talk about it, but Warrior Competition, we're still having sign-ups for that. The Warrior Competition is an obstacle course type event that the kids can participate in. The ages are 5 to 18, and the cost is $25. And I believe the start times are start at 9 o'clock in the morning on May 18th.
Yeah, and if you haven't been, go.
Yes,
they're
amazing.
Great.
Is it early this year?
It's great.
It is. Yes. We usually do it. It's usually Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fire department. The fire department changed
due to the
this year.
Smoke. That little fact that it's Memorial Day weekend, and most people like to be with their families that weekend.
Rona, what took him there?
I know.
One of my grandkids is a reigning champion. So.
I know. They're awesome. So, any questions for me?
No. I don't know if I'm asking the right person, but do you know anything about the Red Cross, the smoke alarm thing, the program?
I don't. That's something you have to get with Teresa. I know a little bit about it. I know she's trying to still get volunteers.
Right, she was asking for teams.
Yeah.
Teams of three.
Yeah.
And I think we have some, so I was wondering, I was hoping to get more information tonight as far as, I guess they need to come out, provide some initial training.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff, I was just wondering about that.
Yeah, I know that the people who have signed up are going to have to do some training. I know
right.
Teresa's been in contact with her, I just don't know any specific dates.
Okay.
I can have Teresa get with everyone who has signed up and just touch base with you guys.
Yeah, because I thought it was mid-month this month for the training, but I guess not.
Yeah, I'm honestly not
okay.
Sure.
But it sounds like a good program.
Yeah,
and three smoke alarms to anybody who needs them, renter or homeowner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good deal.
Springs, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And batteries for other ones. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll have Teresa get in contact with
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question for you. And this is what I'm here for tonight, is to ask about the swimming scheduling. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll catch them before they start scheduling. And have they figured out yet if they can give us more days a week for the pool? And I think this town is well deserving of it. We've been punished long enough. And that's all I wanted to put my two cents in about. And I also wanted to ask you how you liked it last year, and how you liked it last year with the pool being open when the library is closed, and the library is open when the pool is closed. So therefore, the kids had somewhere to go last year. And I know the pool attendants were saying for a while the numbers are down because people weren't used to it. Nobody can figure out what day of the week anything's open around here because we're only allowed, what, 4 days a week. And then they're half days, 4 hours a day, you know. And I just, like I said, I think our punishment is over, and I would just like the county to know that I think we can go back to 7 days a week. So
that's a good idea.
I know. We can have swim teams again. We can have swimming lessons again. We can have fun again in this town in the summers, not have kids saying, there's nothing to do, you know. So we can go there.
Me personally, as a community member, I liked it being open when the library was closed because I did give the kids something else to do other than the library or open rec. I did like that. I think they're still having it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday open. I like it definitely being open on the weekends. I think that's great. As far as 7 days a week, that's something you'd have to get with
Larry Brown.
I can't know that. You know,
how far that goes.
I don't have anything to do with aquatics at all. So,
well, I suggested that change because my daughter was a lifeguard in 09 and then maybe in 10 also. But there's people that grew up here that were lifeguards there,
right?
You know, and it was a heyday. And then they did revamp the whole pool, and it's gorgeous. Gorgeous. You know, so I'm really proud of what they've done with the pool.
Yeah.
And now if we can just keep on going forward, that's all we want.
Yeah. I think a big issue was not having enough lifeguards in the previous years to...
No, it was budgets. Only budgets. That's it.
That could be also.
That's it.
But as far as keeping it open 7 days a week, that would be more staff involvement too, so... But yeah, that's definitely something to look into for sure.
We did get them to come out here and train them for lifeguarding. So that was a problem. Because the kids couldn't get to town. They didn't have transportation.
Right. Yeah.
So that worked out really nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one question. Any update on the empty lot?
The cop
that you
shop.
See the yeah.
Nothing concrete. It's still in the research process. We're still trying to talk to people about it. So, yeah.
Got it.
So hopefully we'll get done soon. Shows. That's a great idea. Anything else?
Thank you.
Remember the basketball court or the...
Okay,
Union Springs Schools.
Laura's
not here, but do know there's a note here that they... Miss Kim needs... Was it 20 or 30 more Easter baskets?
Right.
For the Easter egg hunt?
It's getting down to the wire.
Yeah.
So, anybody can donate. It would help out. High Desert Seniors. Nope.
No seniors.
Megan.
All right. Again, I apologize for being late. I keep forgetting about all that construction down there. I'm sure you guys do not forget about it, but I forget about it. And it's like, oh, man. So I am very sorry. And I just had to get Invisalign braces. So if I'm talking weird or lisping, I'm still getting used to them. So yeah, that explains it. So Family Dollar, I think you've all seen that it's flattened. The old building is flattened. They have their demo permit, so they're doing that with their permits. And they are, and they're waiting for their drainage study to be approved. And that has just been approved. That'd be approved before they can finish their permits. And that was just done, so it'll trickle down now, and everything should be getting going here pretty soon. Terribles, their permits have just been worked up and fees done, so they are ready to be picked up. So they should be starting here very soon. And that's all I have, unless there's any questions for me. Oh, and you may have seen that Family Dollar was closing a bunch of stores elsewhere. I reached out to the contractors, and because we're getting one in Sandy Valley too, so everybody was freaking out. And they're closing the underperforming stores. All of the new development is going right ahead.
Excellent. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Yeah, they wouldn't be pressing forward if they didn't have intentions to keep going here. So.
Right. I mean, they bought the property. They own the property.
Right.
And yeah, they would be tearing down that and getting into
there's,
that
there's like one parent company that owns, I think, Dollar General and Dollar...
Family Dollar, yeah.
Family Dollar and Dollar... Is Dollar Tree separate?
Dollar Tree is separate.
There's another one, too, right? There's like
three or four different. There's some in the Midwest and different ones in the Midwest. But, yeah, Dollar General and Family Dollar are owned by the same company. And some of them are switching, but these are still going to be Family Dollar stores here.
Cool.
You know, just so y'all know, if they do close, Plan B is Bay's Country Store just moves into their building.
So it'll be a nice building.
Great loss.
It'll be a really nice building.
That's right, it will.
Yeah.
Do we have an estimate on still how soon? Because soon can mean like very soon can mean like a month.
Permits with Clark County, you can't.
Well, the permits, everything is approved except for zoning, which had to wait for the grading plan first. And so grading has just been approved. So their permits are going ready to go in the next couple weeks. They are under tremendous pressure, both the contractors from the Family Dollar organization to get moving. So they are not dragging their feet, just so you know. That every day they are losing money by not getting it going. So they don't want to be behind. They want it to happen. So I don't have a time frame. I know the one in Sandy Valley was a different contractor, but they said it's like a 45-day build once they get started. I imagine it would be similar up here. I imagine the stores are somewhat similar. So and then the one down there, it was 45 days to build and 2 weeks to stock. So 2 months once they get started, about.
And then Terrible's is what?
Oh, Terrible's?
Primarily.
Terrible's, I don't know. I have no estimate on that. It's a much bigger project. Mm-hmm. But they also have a much bigger company. And the one in Jean went up pretty quickly. Yours isn't going to be as big as that. That's the biggest Chevron in the United States. Mm. So this one isn't going to be quite as big, but it went up surprisingly fast, I think like 6 months. So for a gigantic one, so I imagine this would be quicker. Mm. And they have, I think it's going to be Denny's, is the restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be worse.
I know. They say they don't give out plastic bags.
Hey, Denny's is better than what we got now. Which is nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Megan, question. Any word from the apartments, or is that like a dead horse?
No, they're still active. I actually just talked to Mason Harvey, who's their representative, not too long ago.
Yeah.
And I think once they see construction going up on those, I think they'll probably start doing something.
Because how much longer is that extension for? It's not much longer, is it?
I don't have to look.
Because remember, they wanted five. We said, no, you got three.
I can't remember what they ended up getting. I don't remember what.
It was three.
Okay. I would think that would be coming up here pretty soon.
I would think 3 years.
He checks in with
the I think it's getting close.
Yeah, he's not forgotten about it, believe me. He checks in periodically to see what's going on. And I think these commercial developments are going to be what's going to kick in Beezer and the apartments.
Okay. Planning and zoning, none. General business. Representative from Indian Springs Library will present information about events and activities happening at the library, including their partnership with Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth as a Safe Place and Food for Thought Community Food Drive.
My name is Marie Reed. I am the library associate for the Indian Springs Library. Most of you probably know me as Jet. As Mike said, I have two programs to talk to you about. The first one that I want to talk to you about, I'm so excited about it. The Indian Springs Library, along with all 25 locations for the Las Vegas Clark County Library District, are now safe places. Mm-hmm. We join places like Terrible Herbst, all the Las Vegas firehouses, and RTC buses. This is a really exciting project for us. This is actually part of our partnership with NPHWISE, the Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth. They operate all of the Safe Place locations, they do all the training, they do all the service. and they are there to help youth who are in distress. This could be a youth who is lost or stranded, or maybe something a little bit more serious, like they're couch surfing, they're afraid to go home, or they don't have a home. And I wanted to share this with you because if you happen to be out anywhere, not just here, if you happen to be out anywhere and you see a youth in distress, please know that we are there. All the youth has to do is come down, we'll tell them about Safe Place, we'll make the call. MPHY is very big on what's called a warm handoff. So it's not just, here's a number, good luck. We will make the call. MPHY will come out, they will provide transportation, they will provide counseling, they will contact family members, they will file any mandatory reports that need to happen, such as CPS reports or police reports, and it's completely voluntary. So if MPHY comes out on a call, and all of a sudden the youth says, I don't want to go, I'm going to leave, we're not going to stop them from leaving, and we're not going to force them to go with MPHY. So it is a completely voluntary program, and this program is everywhere in Southern Nevada, and it is operated by MPHY. The really exciting part is not only are we there to help youth who are in immediate need for shelter, housing, and counseling, but we also have access to all of their outreach and community engagement programs. MPHY is actually starting to do a lot of presentations at libraries in town, and as those programs become available to us here, we'd also like to invite them to come out and do programs here at the library. In the more immediate future, we'll actually be working with MPHY to get hygiene kits for youth who request it. These hygiene kits usually include soap, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste, and also feminine hygiene products. So we can look for that in the near future.
You have a candidate tonight sitting on the bench, and he's been there many, many nights. He's right on the bench.
He comes in and uses the library quite often.
Just so you know.
I think he's a little too old for the program, but I want to make a point.
Okay.
So MPHY itself works with youth between the ages of 12 and 18. But if you happen to see a youth who happens to be younger than that, who happens to be a little bit older, but looks like they need help, please have them come down and talk to us. The other part of MPHY is they are a partnership organization. And so they have a lot of other organizations that they can reach out to so we can try and get people assistance. But again, it's completely voluntary, so we can't force it on anybody. We can just let everyone know. So please pass along word. The other thing is, obviously the library is only open 4 days a week, and unfortunately my hands are tied with that. And because of that, Safe Place is only in effect at the library when staff are there. But in good news, your local Chevron is another Safe Place location. So if you see a youth who's in distress, please send them to either one of the locations. Both locations have staff who are trained, who know the process, who know the procedure, and we will get that youth whatever assistance that they need. Tying into this though, because the library district didn't want to just stop there. We have actually started a homeless youth task force, and eventually this homeless youth task force will evolve and become a more inclusive homeless task force as a whole. But our goal was to really focus on homeless youth because they're a very unique demographic within the homeless community. Youth are very good at hiding it. They'll couch surf. They will spend the night at their friends for weeks on end. And so it's these youth that we really want to try and be able to help. With that, I'm asking for your assistance. If you know of any resources within the community that have resources for youth or for adults, please let us know. The library district is trying to put together a list of resources, not only for Las Vegas, but also in outlying areas, so that all of our staff can point people to resources that they can use. Whether you let me know about who I should contact, or you have them call the library, either way, we just like to have the information available so we can disseminate it. The other program that I wanted to tell you about is our Food for Thought program. It's our annual vine waving program. In the past handful of years, it's really morphed into a community food drive. And so if you have late fees, for every unopened, non-perishable item that you bring in, it doesn't have to be canned, so it can be a bag of beans or whatever the case is, please bring it in. We will clear up to $2 in late fees on your account. We cannot give you future credit, so it's only for 5 that you have.
$2 for each one.
For each, yes, for each item. And there's no maximum limit, so if you owe me, if you owe $1 billion, bring in half a bajillion items, and we've got you cleared. All these donations go to 3 Square Food Bank. And 3 Square Food Bank, we know, does amazing things for this community. Yes. Not only do they do the canned food, they also do the fresh produce, and they also provide the lunches that we serve at the library every day that we're open. So if you see a youth who's hungry, send them down between 3:30 and 4:30, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or on Saturday between 12 and 12:30, and we've got lunches for them. All they have to do is sign in. I just also want to let you know how amazing, I know you all know how amazing this community is. I want to give you quantifiable numbers. Today is the 7th day that the library has been open this month. We have just finished filling our 4th box of food. And that's I think, our highest year we did 10 total boxes. So at this point in the month, this is really amazing. Wow. And I also want to let you know that a lot of people have donated food just to donate. They didn't have fines, and they've asked us to actually set these items aside. So there's somebody who's not able to donate or able to participate but has fines, we can help them clear it. So if you know of anybody who may have late fees, who may be avoiding the library because of that, please have them come down. We'll definitely work with them. Does anybody have any questions about our Safe Place, MPHY, or Food for Thought program?
Question on the youth. Yes. Does that include drug problems?
Any sort of problems.
Okay.
So in particular, MPHY, and their goal is to eliminate youth homelessness, mm-hmm. but they also provide counseling services. I will tell you that I had a youth come in who was feeling very down, was talking about suicide. Mm-hmm. Gave him that number along with the suicide hotline. So this program isn't just for homeless youth, it's for any youth in distress.
Okay.
And it's a really great program.
Well, sounds great.
It absolutely is. And I made sure that I was on the Homeless Youth Task Force. So if we have a youth in distress and MPHY needs to come out, part of their contract is that they will be here in 2 hours maximum to come out and assist this youth.
Hmm. And our kids like talking.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's a good thing.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I don't have questions, but I have 2 resources for you.
Oh.
If you contact Project 150 in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and if you talk to the program director, her name is Kelly Crystal, let her know that I told you about it. They work with homeless youth, and they provide free clothing for them and
counseling.
They refer them to different agencies. And also, there's another program called 211. If you dial 211, mm-hmm. You get access to all the services in the county, and they provide services for youth as well.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Good information.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next. A representative from Indian Springs Water Company will discuss this.
And they weren't able to make it tonight.
Nope.
So we'll have to hold that till next time.
Well, I got some questions for them.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, Hadu said they were saying $10,000 a foot.
Wait till they're here. No information. That's for them. So
I think they added a few digits on there.
I know they're not here, but I heard they put in a bid or whatever. Yeah. Is there a way for other companies to put in a bid?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know much about it. We're waiting for information from them. So.
Yeah, it's certainly not a debt issue.
Oh no, I know it's not. Yeah. Don't worry.
I know it's a big issue, but it's just, it's not dead.
It's an important issue.
Right. All right.
Okay, next. Representative from ADIS Healthcare and the Alzheimer's Association will discuss the availability of home health care in Indian Springs.
Thank you for inviting us. My name is Irma Perdenhofer. I'm married to Mike. I'm a gerontologist and I work for the Alzheimer's Association. And we're partnering with ADIS Home Health Services for different reasons, and I wanted to share a little bit of what we do at our organization. Just to give you some facts and figures, there's 5.8 million people living with Alzheimer's, and of those 5.8 million, only 12% have been diagnosed, which means people are walking this world without diagnosis and thinking it's a normal part of the aging process. One thing that always surprises people, from lay people to doctors, is that Alzheimer's is the 6th leading cause of death every year. So it's something to take serious. lot of people think it's just a memory issue, that she's forgetting stuff, she's repeating stuff from the past. Your brain controls all your body, so little by little all your systems start shutting down. By the time you're diagnosed with it, you've had it 15 years. From diagnosis, you can live 10 to 20 years with the disease, which means somebody is going to take care of you, which means it's a burden for the whole family. The reason I wanted to talk is because I'm also assigned to diversity outreach and rural outreach. I have Beatty, Amargosa, Pahrump. I just added Indian Springs, Sandy Valley. They just gave me that last month as well. Beatty and Tonopah. And every time I go to the rural communities, my heart breaks because they have nothing. And all the senior directors tell me, Irma, it's wonderful. Everybody brings all these brochures, and all they see is Vegas has 20 daycare centers, and everybody complains because none of them are good enough, or they have doctors that are unresponsive, but rural communities have nothing. And I mean, I was just in Amargosa last weekend. I'm going to go tomorrow to train their seniors as well. And they were telling me a person who's having a heart attack could not be seen at the medical clinic because there were no personnel there. So what good is it to have a medical clinic when you can't find a doctor who wants to work in the rural communities? And that person had to be air flighted, so what's more expensive? So, you know, my boss used to work for the Department of Aging and Disability, and I got her boss's ear, so he told me, Irma, find me a need, we'll find a way to figure things out. Telemedicine. Tonopah is a telemedicine clinic. How can you diagnose somebody on a TV screen? There's a lot of challenges. People are going from Tonopah to California to get care, or driving all the way to Las Vegas, you know? So there's a lot of issues, and a lot of the senior centers are asking me for help because they see a need. They're tired of brochures. They want people to do something about it. So I started talking to Addis Health Services in Pahrump about a year ago, and it was like, can you guys go to Indian Springs? That's the closest, and then we'll talk about Amargosa. And they said, it's too expensive. Nobody wants to go out there. Same thing in Vegas. People are being released from the hospital needing home care, and nobody wants to come. So finally, after like a year and a half of begging, really, they said, okay, find us somebody locally, and if we train them, then you can provide the services to them, which is exactly what we did. So as of yesterday, Michelle Turner Judd, you guys know her from the community, she has been trained by Addis. So any senior, actually any person who needs home care, can now get it through Addis. And now all of a sudden, all these other companies are calling me, hey, we want to be your partner. I'm like, no, I'm going to go with people who wanted to be there when nobody else was. And then little by little, let people in.
Right.
And I wanted to let people know, if anybody needs any kind of home care, and it doesn't have to be medical care, it could be somebody to watch your loved one while you go buy groceries. Somebody needs to be driven to Vegas for a doctor's appointment or to get groceries. These people can help them. Michelle is the first one. It took us about a month and a half to get her ready because they have to be fingerprinted. They have to be background checked. Ava Camerata from Addis Services had to train her in her procedures, and now I'm going to train her in aging procedures. Just basic aging, what to do with people who have behavioral issues, because Alzheimer's has a lot of the behavioral issues. So I'm really happy to announce that because it's the first time it's happened. And I've been also working with the High Desert Seniors. I'm training them monthly. I'm going to be there this Saturday. We're going to be talking about what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia. If anybody wants to come, I'm working with Deb Miller on that. And she wants me to come monthly. And we are also talking about doing a community resource fair for seniors or the community in general. And I've already talked to Nevada Senior Services, the Lou Rubel Clinic, because I'm on their board of directors, transportation companies, people from Pahrump want to come. So we want to do something big so people realize there's services out there. There's some people who want to help. So if you know anybody who needs help, I have my cards, and I also have Addis's cards. We can sign up people immediately. And if you want to talk directly to Michelle, because she works for them, we're not associated in any way except that I train her staff, and then I provide services to seniors in the rural communities. Please let us know. Because like I tell the people in Vegas, our seniors in general are aging in place. Las Vegas is a transitional community. A lot of seniors come here because it's cheaper, because the weather's good. They have no relatives here. Most of their kids live out of town, out of state. So they're not aging in place. The seniors in rural communities are dying in place. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to have a moral obligation and responsibility to help them out. So this is the way we're doing it, one step at a time. I'm going to start doing that with Amargosa. I'm going to work with them tomorrow, and then I'm going to Beatty, and then Sandy Valley, and then all the way to Tonopah. So whatever. If you guys know anybody, please let us know.
Thank you, Irma.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good stuff.
Okay, discuss possible repairs or upgrades to Clark County property on McFarland between Fisher and Boulder. Is that what you were talking about earlier?
Well, I don't know. When you put stuff like this on the agenda, I need to know about it so I can bring you information. So tell me, whoever had
I think it was Mike Nichols that brought it up.
Oh.
Where the cop shack used to be on the corner.
Right.
There was a...
The one basketball hoop.
Yeah, there was a basketball hoop down there, and there was a street light there, I believe. Kids used to go play basketball all the time. They felt safe. The cops were right there. And he was asking, can we get it cleaned up, fix it up a little bit, and make it, you know, where kids can go play again.
Oh, okay. So we went to the basketball court again?
Yeah.
I'll see right
maybe there. A light there, you know, so they can play after dark. And
our military guys always would put up the nets, you know. They were always known for putting the nets up.
Right.
So there again, let Nick know you want some help with that park, and they can come over and help out.
Help clean, rake everything up, clean it up, maybe get some benches or something, you know.
There might be some. County takes that on. They probably want to put up
fences
and stuff and all that good stuff.
We don't want no fences.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but we don't want
people riding. We do want walls, though.
I cleaned the garbage up off of there, and then Lance took all the broken down limbs off of there. So if the community would just pick up the garbage, it would be nice.
No fences, but we do want walls.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, they call it a cop shop.
All right.
That was it about that.
Okay.
Okay, comments by the general public. Period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board council's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any board member wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair of the board by majority vote. Anybody got anything?
How do I do? And then I'm going to take my coat on. I'll go up to the podium. Hi. Jamie Brown, I have it written down. It's just short and sweet. 275 Winston Lane. Just requesting 7 days a week. Like 10 years is long enough for us not to have swimming at the swimming pool. Like I said, how many years has this been cut back? So I'm just asking you, Megan, to take the word back and find out where the budgets are at and see where we go from there. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. Everything's going great in our lives.
How's your project going?
It's going wonderful. Everybody's we're waiting for the doors to be put on. So permitting is what takes the longest.
Yeah.
It's Clark County that we have to deal
right
with.
Now it does.
That's what takes things so long to build, but we're having a good time. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks. Anybody else? Going once, going twice?
So, do we have a date for the next community cleanup yet? Because the last one was in November, so... It should be coming soon.
No, that's right. I was working with Republic on changing the way they were done. We were going to have set days like every other month or something.
Yeah.
My contact who I was working with on that is no longer with Republic. So let me circle back with that. I think it was kind of agreed that that would be better to have it more frequent.
It would.
So let me, I'll circle back on that. And if we're not going to be able to implement that, then we'll plan one.
Okay.
Does that work for everybody?
Yep.
And that'd be great if we can increase that. That'd be great.
Right. So instead of bringing 9 out twice a year, if they brought 2 every other month, you know, it would be less for them, more for you guys, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, because that's how they do it in a couple other communities, so I think that would work well. But like I said, I'm going to have to... I have to train someone new now. Someone new for
this. Yeah, break them in. Okay, good.
And things like that
basketball area and other things. You don't have to wait till the meeting to bring this up. And I wish you wouldn't wait till the meeting, because I can be working on stuff before I get here. So if you say, hey, we're going to talk about this, or this is something we're asking for, you guys, I hopefully all know how to get a hold of me. You can text me, call me, email me, and we don't have to wait a month in between seeing each other to work on these things. So
I think Mike mentioned it when you weren't here, because he brought it up at the meeting. Okay. But you weren't here, so this is the one you did.
I told Mike that too. Even that, give me a heads up when I'm working on stuff. You know, right now there's not a lot I can do to help on these things, but you don't have to be shy.
Okay. Reasonable? Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Nope. Next meeting, May 16th, 6:30.
Amen.
See you then.
Meeting adjourned.